Blog Talk Radio.
My God, don't you feel that fire burning down deep inside your bones? Praise the Lord, all you beautiful souls. Welcome to Fire, the gospel experience that is dedicated to honor the true and only living creator God. Now is the time, y'all, come on, to let our minds, bodies, and souls be renewed and refreshed in our relationship with our great, wonderful, and magnificent God, our Father. There are not enough words in the human language that can express our great thanksgiving, our love and appreciation and gratitude to his beautiful Son, our Prince of Peace, our wonderful Messiah, Redeemer, and Savior, none other than Jesus the Christ, right here on this fire gospel experience. Jesus the Christ is unashamedly and unapologetically, as well as extradentally, declared to be the only Redeemer, the only acceptable Lamb of God. He is the only chosen one with the keys of life, death, hell, the grave, and to our beautiful gift of eternal life. He's our only hope in life for this lost, dark, and dying world. Again, I bless you all in the beautiful name of Jesus, and I'm grateful to have you joining me back on this fire gospel experience. I'm your purpose and power-driven host, Ron E. Jefferson, and I'm here to bring you the most uplifting spiritual soul inspirations, as well as some of the most anointed gospel music, my God, you're going to see for yourself, that has ever been made and ever been played. Fire gospel experience will light, ignite, and fan those flames. It's in your spirit, man, woman, boy, or girl, so that you can be that victorious believer that our Lord Jesus came, bled, died, suffered, ministered, and right now is interceding on our behalf on the right hand of the Father, so that all that victory can be yours. But you got to be in Christ, because I'm telling y'all, God is not a respecter of persons. He's just looking for a humble heart to worship and fellowship with him in spirit and in truth. We will be embracing for your sanctified supplement as well as your biblical intuitiveness from the book of John, 8th chapter, verse 28, and chapter 12, verse 32, where we read our Lord Jesus declares his great drawing power of men's hearts, minds, and spirits without violating their free will. We are living in times now when our discernment must be at an all-time high. We indeed must make room for all people to come freely, but not at the expense of sanctification and holiness. No, no, never that. We cannot allow our sacred places of worship to be transformed into spiritual entertainment, which will evaporate like the wind. Our responsibility as followers of Christ is to make him the focal point of how we lead the church and how we follow the church leaders, and not allow the ways of the world to dilute our focus, worship, our regard for God's holy place. We're going to be talking about lifted up, the Bible, because our Lord Jesus told those folks straight to their face, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto you. So that means we don't have to be so clever and try to come up with tricks up our sleeve to get people to come to church. Amen goes right there. My special guest is here, man of God, Bible teacher, preacher, pastor, and gospel artist from the group The Williams Singers. Y'all know about The Williams Singers. They've been making music for over decades now, and I'm telling you, they got that sanctified traditional sound that makes you tap your toes, pat your feet, and just kind of bob your head. Man of God, Pastor Desmond Williams is here of The Williams Singers, and we're going to have a wonderful time in the Lord. We're going to get some things straight up in here before we leave this fine gospel experience. I promise you we will. And then later on the broadcast, I'm going to shine my artist spotlight on another tremendous man of God, gospel artist Martin Palmer is going to be in my shine on the spotlight. And we're just going to continue to have church up in here, up in here. So why don't you go call a family member, call a friend, a co-worker. I dare you right now to call somebody that's in your spirit right now that you know could use some good, sanctified, soul-stirring, biblical conversation while we testify about our amazing God. Amen goes right there. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for redeeming us, keeping us, covering us. And we pray, Holy Spirit, God, that you would just have your way. We are so grateful that you are in our lives. We decided again that we're going to yield to your influence, and we're going to do our very best to not get in your way. We thank you now, Holy Spirit, God, for all that you have done, for what you will do, for what you have already blessed us with. And we just say thank you in Jesus' name for lighting the fuse that's going to set the internet as well as the radio airwaves on Holy Ghost sanctified fire, fire, fire.
Said I feel like, oh yeah, feel like
Of God, it's gonna hit you. You might be in Walmart, you might be at Onassis Coney Island. Y'all ain't from Detroit, y'all don't know what I'm talking about. You might be at Burger King and then all of a sudden be in Piggly Wiggly and that spirit hits you and you'd be like, Lord Jesus, I can't wait to get back to church, because you can feel it sometimes even after you've left the building. Sounds of my special guest, the Williams singers, up in here, Lord Jesus, we're about to have church right up in here on this fire gospel experience. I'm trying to tell y'all, my special guest is here. He is an amazing man of God in his own right. I'm not going to try to tell his story. I'm going to let him tell it, because who can tell your story better than you and God? He is a member of this amazing group that y'all just heard singing, starting off this fire gospel experience. William Singers, Lord Jesus, this young man, I'm trying to tell you, he is a pastor as well as gospel artist, and I'm just happy and excited to have here with us on this fire gospel experience, Pastor Desmond Williams to fire gospel experience. God bless God, man. Y'all come in hot. Y'all just come in and just have people stomping and sweating all over the place and celebrating our God, man. That's what we like. We like that.
Hey,
how you
man,
doing, man?
That's
what
it's all about. I'm doing good. I'm doing well, man. I'm blessed, highly favored, man. No complaints here. God is good.
I tell people when we start talking about we blessed and highly favored, if we really, really, really start testifying about how good is God is and how good has brought me out and changed my life, they'll think we exaggerate, but all we're doing is just bragging on God. That's all we're doing.
That's it. That's it. I mean, it ain't nothing that I've done for myself. Everything is I know it all comes from God, man. That's where it's at. That's right,
and,
man.
And then, you know, after walking with the Lord a while, what we do is we try to stay humble enough to not get in his way, try to learn his ways so that we can be in one accord. Amen?
come on now. You know
I'm
it. You know
the
it.
Truth. You know
it. That's right.
Amen. Listen, man of God, you have so much to tell. It's going to probably take really more than just one show. So I want you to, first of all, feel privileged to be able to come back to this Fire Gospel Experience. If I take too long, I invite you to come back. You got my number, man. Call me, said Brother Ron. I feel like having church. And I'm going to be right there with you, Doc. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to the people of God? Why don't you tell us maybe from your first beginning, what was it about our Lord Jesus Christ that just attracted you to him so much that you wanted to dedicate your life to him and serve him in any way he saw fit? Tell us your story, sir.
Well, I've always been, we grew up, me and my brothers, we grew up in a house of Christian believers. You know, my dad was a pastor. My mom, she was an evangelist. They were divorced, but my mom, we would spend time with my mom and spend time with our dad. And in both homes, we had the values of knowing who God was. You know what I mean? They were both Christian believers, knowing who God was in their life played a big part of growing up believing in who God was and who he would be in our life. So I've always known him to be the foremost. My mom and my dad always told us to whatever you do, always put God first. So I've always known him to be first in the head of my life as a little boy, you know, growing up. And after many years, you know, I mean, you know how we get off. I'm pretty sure I'll probably get into that a little bit, but you know, we stray away, but we still know who's in charge, you know. And that being said, I've always had the opportunity to know who God was just from my parents bringing me up in church.
Mm-hmm. I got you. I'm glad you were transparent enough to talk about divorce, because this is the platform where you can come and talk about some things that most people don't talk about. They think about, they keep it to themselves, they whisper it, or they stay in their little clique and talk about it. But we need more of open platforms such as Fire Gospel Experience, where we, the church body, can openly discuss things that we need to talk about, because those are the things that sometimes can hold back our growth and our maturity. So in terms of divorce, man of God, can you share how divorce affects the husband and the wife from what you witnessed as a child, seeing your father and your mother, as well as talk to some of the grown children that probably were grieved because they went through the witnessing of divorce of their parents? Where's the healing lessons for those that have experienced divorce, Pastor?
Well, the healing in that comes from within. It comes from knowing the person, actually. So being that my parents was divorced, my mom never taught me to hate my dad. And my dad never taught me
to hate
my mother. So when you have that type of situation, it's easy to know who the person is. But a lot of times you have in these times of day, people just can't seem to get along. So they would go against the grain, and they would say if someone is living with their mother, they would say, well, you know, his dad ain't no good, or you know, and it draws a division in knowing who that person can be in your life. And I would say that every male child needs their father. You know, they need somebody.
Amen.
They need
Amen.
Somebody as a role model to know how to be or to grow up as a man, you know. And they need that man because I really do feel that there are certain things that a man's responsibility in the child's life is just for the man and for the woman as far as, you know, teaching them values as far as in the woman's life. The woman can tell you. So it's all important. You do miss those things when you when there's separation in the home. But the healing process, it comes from within. Understanding the mother and the father, if you're a child that went through that, know that everybody has their own differences, as you'll know and as you'll learn in your life. Everybody has their own differences and in their own opinions, but you have to try to understand people and go from there. And that's where the healing process starts, knowing how to love individuals for who they are.
Hey, man. Woo, that's good, man. That's good. I'm going to tell you something, because I already told you before we got started, I always trust Holy Spirit God to step in and lead and guide the conversation. Now, here we go with that, because there's this, I guess you could say, controversy around Father's Day. Well, the single parent mother wants credit for mother and father. And here's the thing now. Here it is now. See there? Yes, a woman can raise a boy to be a man, but that only goes so far. Because when a boy starts feeling himself, start growing hair on different parts of his body, face and everywhere else, under his arms and everywhere else, he's not going to have so much anticipated respect, so to speak, or should I just say fear of mama, just to go on and be plain, because he knows now that he has physical strength and the whoopings just don't hurt like they used to. And so at that point, this is where the father, a woman can demonstrate it, but a woman does not have a man's vibration.
Oh,
because
wow.
That bass in our voice, the physical dominance that they see we still have, they know they can't press up on us without paying consequences. So I would say that, yes, a woman can raise a boy to be a man, but a man is crucial if you want to put the icing on the cake. If you want to put that icing on the cake, a man is crucial, because when mama has gone as far as she can go, the husband, the man, the uncle can step right in and take over without missing a beat, because that boy knows that if you feel like you want to raise up on me and you want to try to demonstrate some manhood, we got a backyard where we can go out here and you can have at it and you can show me what you're working with.
Man, listen.
What you
listen? I'm laughing because, I mean, you actually, listen, man. Okay, so I knew when it was time, or I would say my mom knew when it was time. Because we used to get whooping back in the day. I'm talking about
old school.
You know, and, man, at the latter part of our years, me and my brothers were living with our mom, and it was a day that I think done something, man, and I had turned 16, and was going on 17, And my mom was ready to whoop me. And listen, something rose up in me. And I knew right then and there I was not going to take another whooping ever in my life.
No,
and
that's,
I know when it rose up in me, my mom seen that, and she kind of she kind of backed away, real kind of
backed up,
and
come
and
on.
She said, you know what? She said, you know, it's y'all, you can do what you want to do, but you're not going to be able to do it here. And that time my mom knew, she knew that I wasn't going to take no whooping. She knew I wasn't going to do it. But if I had the influence of my father, I mean, I knew who my father was. My father would knock me down. My father was 6'5". He was 6'5", 245 pounds.
Okay, sounds like a tight end to me.
Man, he wasn't playing. My dad's arms was dang near arm long as the 12 blocks you can walk down the street. You put your hands around you before you knew it, man. You was in you. Hey, so I mean, I knew right then and there, man. I was, you know, just by you saying that, that's so true. That's so true, because that's when you know a father is needed. And I feel that the enemy fights so hard, keeping the man from the home. Because if he can keep the man from the home, then, you know, you can get a half-breed, you know, somebody that's raised only on so much that you can take from a woman's perspective and not a man's perspective, to not know. This is why a lot of men or so-called men don't know how to treat women, or don't know how to talk to them, or don't know how to be responsive to them, or, you know, I mean, my wife works on me still today, telling me how to talk and how to be easy, you know. I mean, it's a
I feel you.
So, I mean, even it can take an effect even when you're grown, you know, I mean, and you don't know how it took an effect on you as a child. So, I mean, it takes a toll on people, but I think, you know, the more you know how to deal with people, and the more you know how to love people, then the healing process starts. So, yeah, man, you own it, man, 100%, man.
And listen now, you just said something else that's very important for this conversation too, how the wife is meeting you with help to be able to soften some of your rough areas. But at the same time, I know that you will step into your wife and say, you know what, I know you love them and everything, and I know you this and you that, but try this, dear, try that, because sometimes we need to prop our wives up just like the wives need to prop us up. It's a beautiful arrangement in marriage. Don't get me to start talking about marriage now. Go ahead.
No, I'm just agreeing with you. Yeah, for sure.
I love the fact that family was instituted by God. But what happened to the first family? Enemy seduced the woman, Eve, our foreparent mother, and then seduced the brothers, the one committed murder. So there is a spiritual attack against family. And it's no coincidence. Now, I'm about to make some folks mad, but that ain't going to be the first time. Probably ain't going to be the last. That there is an attack on men for this very reason, to get the man away from the children, away from the wife, so that they will not come together in holy matrimony and be used by God as a couple, but also so that that father will not be there to provide the fatherly influence, which is intended to be able to lead the family in godliness, in submission to God. The man is the pastor. He is the overseer. He is the leader of every home. He takes that family to be under leadership of a pastor, a reverend, a minister, so that God will have an even spiritual flow from the church to the family to the father to the wife to the children. Now, all this sagging pants, all that is an attack against manhood, against the black man's manhood. And I'm sorry, but I know the braids is real, real popular right now, but when we look behind people now because of all these braids, we don't know if it's a man or a woman. Come on now. Come on.
That's, you right, man. And the sad thing about it is there's no response. You can accredit that probably maybe 50 to 65% of that coming from people that had no males in their homes or no real fathers in their homes that
Thank
will
you.
Teach you, hey,
Looking
pull
for
your
an identity.
You ain't gonna get no job like that. You know, you ain't gonna get no job without, you know, so yeah.
And see, it's a lack of good, healthy self-esteem, and they're searching for an identity. So the easiest, quickest way, the most seemingly affirming source of identity comes through peer pressure. So there is an active strategy to feminize the black man.
Absolutely.
Wearing dresses. You got actors in Hollywood, they say the only reason they were able to succeed at certain levels is because they agreed when the studio said, we want you to put on a dress. Flip Wilson started that mess as far back as I can remember with Geraldine.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the actors today, black men, are being tried to put on a dress. Supposedly for entertainment purposes, but the deeper spiritual attack is so that men will lose their true identity. So I know it's popular. The black, you see white actors going to do that. Yeah, you got, what's his name, and Mrs. Doubtfire, Robin, Miss Doubtfire, but the majority of actors that have been asked to put on a dress are black men. And see, we need to wake up to these things. See, we need to move beyond the surface. That's why spiritual discernment is such a beautiful thing. Your comments before we continue with this William Singer's concert? Come on, Pastor Desmond. What you got to say about that?
Well, I believe that it's definitely a spiritual attack. But like you said, it was started even from the beginning when they were in the garden. And when you go back and you give the woman the permission or the charge over you to tell God what this woman has done, and you have just given charge over, and then the Lord tells you basically, you're the one that I put, because when they were in the garden, it says that the Lord came in and he was looking for Adam, you know.
Thank
he
you.
Were and
mm-hmm.
and th- then Adam says that the woman that you gave me a bit of the apple,
and she
got me or of the fruit, and gave so you know, we say apple all the time, but it said bit of the fruit and gave it unto me. Well, that right there started to be an act of defiance from deceit, because now since we understand that the woman has the power to influence, because they are so special that when God said, "I wish that you should not be alone, so I'm gonna give you a helpmate," you know, helpmate, being that, I don't want to say this in a biased moment, but when we put the woman in the forefront to be the lead, things happened to where it was not ordered in that way, because like you said, God put the man to be the order of the home.
That's the truth,
you know. And all this stuff. The crazy thing is about it is the enemy is so clever, because he was born and formed way before we were. So he has a lot of more knowledge than we have. So his plan is very strategic, even from the beginning. Very strategic. He knows what he wants to do to plan it out, and he goes from it goes from deceiving the man into believing that the woman might be in charge. Is where you get Jezebel from and Ahab. You know, after that, you get these people coming in from the Independence Day, the women's rights. Okay, nothing wrong with women's rights, but when it comes to women's rights saying that we don't need a man, we don't need the man to be independent, then there you go. Here you go from the act of being the women's rights and legislation as of you don't need a man to be independent in a home. So then from there, like in the 1940s and 50s and 60s, and then it goes to from women's rights to what do you call that? The Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter. And a lot of people don't really understand where that originated from. But it was originated from the LGBT community, the two women that raised that whole organization, and it was supposed to be for women's rights, for women's rights equality, and it changed into All Lives Matters after that. But if you read what it actually stands for, you will actually see who came up with that, now you don't know how it translates into, well, we don't need a man. So now man's thinking, well, women don't need us. So, I mean, what we going to do? We going to do our own thing, you know. We're going to be playboys in the street. We don't need a value of a home. We can just go from woman to woman. Then now you got these men don't know who they are, what they want to do, you know, if they want to be a man or if they want to be a woman. Or if they want a relationship but want the woman to be the man. It's all kind of, I mean, listen, it's so strategic that the enemy plans these things. But as people of God, our discernment has to be on fleek, especially in these times and days, because all of it has been leading up to this time. Since the beginning, all of it has been leading up to this time. But if we are aware of the devil's scheme, and if we are knowledgeable of the devil, the Bible says he masquerades as an angel of light. You know, the things that look good, he can present all those things to you, but it's really not good for you. So now you don't have kids growing up in homes because women say, oh, we don't need no man, but then as soon as they need a tire change, then what happens? They want to call the first man that they see to change the tire, you know, and then you got the man sitting at the gas station, the man sitting in the passenger seat while the woman is pumping the gas and he on his phone. I'm telling you, listen, if you see all this stuff and it translates out because it's supposed to be, everything is anti with the enemy. You know, when God ordains marriage, you know what I mean? The enemy says, okay, I ordain marriage, but it ain't going to be between a man and a woman. It's going to be anti. It's going to be the very opposite that God said. It's going to be a woman and woman, man and man.
I can't stand it.
You know?
Doc, I'm going to tell you something, Doc. Temptations had it right when they said it's just a ball of confusion. And you are so right, because it was all set up to eventually snowball. And then what, one movement away from God will pick a speed and it will splinter off into various movements of from God under the guise of fundamental rights, because it's a crying shame. And I'm not hating on nobody, okay? But the Bible clearly says that it's an abomination for a man to lay with another man as he would with a woman. And the same goes for a woman with a woman. So we don't hate LGBTQ, but the lifestyle God does not approve of. And I'm going to say this too, Pastor, before we get to this Williams' concert. just to be fair, because we ain't hating on nobody. Now, the women is going to say, well, what about if the man ain't no good? Well, I'm trying to figure out what was your spiritual discernment and trying to figure that out in the dating stage. If you married to a man that's not following the will of God, that's on
Lord
you, sister girl. You should have dropped him like he was hot. Okay, hey, truth be told, we and there's some areas of a relationship where we've crossed the line, and we love certain things that they do for us. We're hoping they'll change. We can change them, but we ain't trying to give up that good thing, whatever that thing is. And y'all grown, y'all know what I'm talking about. But the thing about it is just to be fair, the Bible tells man that he should be willing to lay down his life, just like Christ laid down his life for the church. That commandment was never given to the woman. The woman is just supposed to honor him, to respect him, because even when you can't see the whole vision, you should have enough trust in him and in trust in God in him that he is leading you in a way where you don't see the end result just yet. But by faith, I'm going to trust and believe that this is the will of God that I'm with. And a smart man will not rule heavily. I say this all the time. There's only one steering wheel in a car. The car is designed for one person to drive. But there could be passengers that are just as credited as being valid drivers that have licenses. A wise man is not going to just be so heavy-handed. He want to drive from Fort Lauderdale to Seattle, Washington by himself. No, a smart man, you know what, sister girl, you are my equal in driving. I want you to take over. And then there's no problem because he's using wisdom so that I'm not trying to do everything. I understand that my wife has the capabilities to do everything I can do. But just for the sake of our God is not the author of confusion, he has order. And that's what we're talking about here on this Fire Gospel Experience. And one of the things that we've learned is when we have order, we can always continue to just keep pressing on.
Well, we're going to do it a little different this time. We're getting ready to go through the hood, y'all. Will you listen here? Been working for the Lord a long time. Yeah, since I was a little boy. But I can't stand here and lie to you and say that all of my days have been joy. So-called friends talked about me. In fact, they've even made me cry. Yeah, but through it all, y'all, I made up my mind that I ain't. Keep on looking to the hills, y'all. I know I'm gonna see the sun. It gets so hard sometimes, y'all. Yeah. But I'm not gonna let that bother me, y'all. Jesus is able to hold me up.
Yes,
sir. Hey, keep on letting me fall.
Keep on
I feel pretty good right now.
At my breaking point, losing my patience and contemplating on giving up. But I gotta keep looking up, cause the God that I serve is faithful indeed. He said in his word that he'll supply all of my needs. And I believe, so I will achieve, cause I know that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So the situation I'm facing, no need to worry, cause it ain't gonna last long. I just gotta keep believing and pressing on, pressing on. Hey,
I gotta keep
pressing on.
That I gotta keep, Lord have mercy.
I got to keep
pressing on. Can I encourage my soul?
I'm pressing on, no way.
Sometimes all I can do
pressing on.
But if you read in your Bible, my friend Job will tell you, oh, a man grown up a woman. I want your day, y'all. And sure not full of trouble, but ain't gone all right anyhow. Let me ask you, do you believe? Ah, do you believe tonight? Oh, I'm working hard.
You are listening to Fire, the gospel explosion where the praises are going up and the worries are going away. Playing for you the best and the newest gospel music on the planet and the most inspiring encouragement under God's heaven. Keep tuning in and bless your family, your friends, and your coworkers by telling them about Fire.
Fire, fire, fire. The Gospel Express, that is your evangelistic outreach ministry radio platform where we honor God and we reach out to those that have not known personally relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And for those that have, to just be encouraged to continue on pressing on. Like man of God, Desmond Williams and the Williams Singers just got through singing about right here, right here. Man of God, listen, I know we had talked about fatherhood, and I want to transition that title to the father of the church, the overseers of the church. There's so much dirt being thrown on the church name through so many national and even global church leaders right now. We have to address it because a lot of criticism that I heard from people that left the church and have decided to follow African, ancient African religions or other denominational or other religions as a whole, they said that the Christian church is too passive. And to a certain degree, there is some truth where we will not always speak out because we don't want to seem harsh. We don't want to seem judgmental. But when we are utilizing the word of God as our reference, we're not being judgmental. We are just speaking on what God has already judged is appropriate, is holy, what is inappropriate, and what is unholy. We're just the messengers, so we need to speak up. And I'm just wondering if there's some comments that you may have about, you know, a particular church that's all over the news right now down there in Atlanta, where they were playing worldly music, they were swerving it, and they were, you know, walking it in. And this is club music. And I know my elders, they were so concerned about opening the door so wide that people come in and not understanding that we are people that are set apart. The Bible says, come out from among them and be separate. We are intended to live a different lifestyle. So we're just concerned about some of the fault that's going on right now because there'll be people that believe that, okay, it's cool. I can do certain things that I was doing. I don't have to change because we swagging it in the church. We swerving in the church and we walking it out in the church. So I'm concerned about that because if this catches on and if it continues, people will be not changing their lifestyles, feeling like I'm still safe when they may not actually be in right relationship with God. What do you say, Pastor Williams?
I believe that the church is actually living today, living abstract reality. I feel that in the church today, that people have a form of godliness, but they deny the power of the Godhead. Meaning, abstract reality. When you look at the word abstract, it's basically it's an existing thought or an idea, but not having a physical form or something that's played in your mind, but not played out in the physical. So I believe that the church today, with the leaders, they have entitled people to feel like, it's a good feeling to come to church. It's a good feeling to come to church. But when it comes to the conviction part of it, it's not being played out or it's not being talked about fully to the fullness, to where people are convicted to turn their life over to Christ. So we have people living an abstract reality life, going to church and feeling like, if I go to church and if church looks like the world, then hey, what's the difference? You know, what's the difference? And as you said, that we're supposed to be a part. The Bible said we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, but we're also a peculiar people. We're set apart. But if the world, if the church looks like the world, then there's no difference between living a godly life and living a life that's not righteous to God. There's no difference. So people are being confused. There's that word again. People are being confused even in the church because there's no leader standing up to be the man or whoever it is to say, hey, look, holiness looks like this. Holiness sounds like this. And if we don't have the leaders being responsible, and only thing the leaders want responsibility for is how many members they can draw, then we're in a messed up situation.
Mm. Amen. And I believe that's the very reason why the scripture depicts so clearly wide is the gate that leads to damnation, but narrow is the way that leads to eternal life, because the Bible declares that many will say to me, Lord, Lord, but he will turn and tell them, but I don't know you. I don't even know you. You've been in church for years, but you worship me with your lips, but not with your heart. See, that's the point that we need to understand. You can fake me out. You can be the best-looking, certified Bible church-toting, scripture-quoting man or woman that I know. But I can't see the heart, but the Lord can. God Almighty sees the heart. And the thing about it is, what's so scary for me is, these people that are in the Bible that our Lord Jesus talked about actually believed they were saved. They were not snakes. They were not wolves in sheep's clothing. These people quoted. They said, Lord, we did this in your name. We did that in your name. They were active in church ministry, Pastor Williams. Mm-hmm. That's the scary part, and that's the part that we are pleading to people to understand, because no more. It's time out for the church to sit back and say, well, we're going to let God work it out and twiddle our thumbs and pray and say, okay, well, God will work it out. When God put us in positions to do things that we can do, it's been said that we can do what we can, but God is not going to do what we can. We can't do what God can, and God is not going to do what we can, is the quote.
Yeah.
So that's the problem we need to play, Pastor. We need to be more assertive. And don't worry about the name of it, because they're already talking about it, so we might as well fulfill our service with God and then take the backlash, because the Bible has already said that if you are the righteous, you shall suffer persecution. We don't want to suffer persecution, so we sit back and relax, and we try to act like it's on God and it's out of our hands when we can do something. We can do more than we've been doing. That's my point.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, and I'm going to tell you, a lot of people criticize, okay, so I'm glad that you said that. We definitely can do more as a people of God. But the thing is, when this is where it fails. The Bible says how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, meaning when we all come together, you know, and we get together and we dwell in unity, and we worship God, we praise God. When it comes a time that church begins to look like just something to do or an agenda to do or somewhere to go or somewhere because my grandparents went to church, so I have to go to church, or when it becomes a tradition, when church becomes a tradition and not a conviction, then we're lost as a people of God, because God is challenging us. Matter of fact, he's challenging us leaders to be the forefront of conviction. Listen, when I go to if I go to church,
amen,
and I hear all the time, people say, how many of y'all came to church to get something? Well, I mean, how many have? I mean, but where is the power? Where is the power from the
kingdom? Come on.
The power comes from the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if the power is not demonstrated in the way to where that there's no conviction, then what kind of power is it being? You have to question yourself, what kind of church is this? Am I going to? If you go into a church and you only see you don't even see people coming up to the altar anymore, giving their lives to Christ, or you don't have anybody being convicted to be baptized, or you don't even have the pastor who wants to be baptized. You know, the Bible said that he talked to Nicodemus, and he told the Nicodemus, and he said, in order to be born again, you got to go down in the water, you have to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Meaning, you don't even have churches nowadays that say, hey, we having baptismal service on the first and third Sunday. No, they don't even mention that until somebody say, well, I was convicted, and then they have to say it. But these leaders are falling real short, because God is charging them. God is charging them to be active, okay, just say, for example, it talks about in the Bible when Jesus was talking to the disciples, and he began to tell them about the ending of the second coming of the Son of Man, and he began to tell them, he said, it's going to be like the days of Noah. It's going to be like the days of Noah. And will it be the second coming of the man? So what was it like in the days of Noah? Then it began to talk about how they were eating and drinking and marrying, being given unto marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. That means nobody had no form of godliness. It says that the wicked increased even more. Violence was on the land. It increased even more, and nobody had nothing. That they wanted to do anything to do with righteousness, it was all evil. And Jesus telling his disciples that the second coming is going to be as of the days of Noah. So it's all leading up point. It's all leading up because you have nobody teaching. What happened to Noah? Noah was the only one that was found with righteousness in him. That means he was the only one that came up and say, there is the God. There, you need to turn around, repent. You need to come on this. It's gonna rain. God is gonna tell. I'm trying to tell y'all. Give up the evilness. Give up the wicked ways. He said nobody was found except Noah. And then Jesus said to his disciples, it's gonna be like the days of the knowing of Noah, the second coming of the man of man. This is why you got preachers falling off, falling by the wayside.
Yeah.
Because they're failing. They're failing to bring people to Christ by the conviction of, because they're led. They're led by what the world can offer them. Now, when somebody gets a position or get in the church position, I've heard people even say, well, man, listen, I'm telling you, and listen, man, me and my brothers have been to a lot of places, you know, and
it almost seems like that some pastors are dumbing down what they feel because they're afraid of what their church is going to say or what people may say. And that leads to a dumbing down of the word. The Bible says at the end they will have itching ears, wanting to hear things they want to hear, and they will refuse the truth. So now you've got preachers that's refusing to preach the truth only because they are so hung up on what they can get out of the church. If I have more members, maybe I can get a bigger presence. Maybe I can be a bigger, I can get more money. The more I'm doing for this church, the more the church is paying me. So, listen, it's the gospel of Jesus Christ is being dummied down to what the people want to hear. That's why the world can come into church and infiltrate the world in the church, and the church have no standards but to go along with it. So where's the leaders?
Amen.
Who's standing up against this? Who's standing up? Who's crying out loud? Who? What righteous man is going to be found? What righteous preacher is going to be found? It was only one in the beginning before he destroyed the world. That's why you got that Bible verse. Wide and wide is the road that leads to destruction, and many follow thereof, but narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life, and a few find it thereof.
Yeah,
that's why you get that, because it's leading up to that. I want to be in that number that's going to be crying out, fear not, listen, what it's going to take. The Holy Spirit, if you ain't, listen, man, if you die, you can die tomorrow. And this goes right back to what you were saying. If you die tomorrow and you say, oh, no, I went to church all the time. I didn't miss a beat. I didn't miss a beat. But guess what? If he don't see himself in you, that means the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, if he don't see himself in you, he's going to say, I don't know you. He recognized you by his spirit. And the conviction that the church has gone is done left the whole day. We welcome the Spirit in this place. No, you don't. Because if you welcome the Spirit in this place, there'd be folks running to the altar, pleading, Lord, forgive me. I've sinned, Lord, forgive me for my sins. I don't want to die in my sins. But you don't get that no more. You don't get it.
Amen.
Here's the beautiful thing about me fulfilling my assignment, listeners, is that I come in hyped up because that's just in my spirit. That's why God gave me this opportunity to dwell on. He positions the people of God exactly strategically where he knows they will best glorify him and be maximized in our own personal destiny. See, once I come in with my sanctified, hyped up self, moves on to my special guests, and then they slowly feel the heat of the fire of the gospel rising up in them. Man, I just sit back and I can just shake my little jingle bells or hit my little triangle every now and then. I can turn them loose. Y'all just heard Man of God, Desmond Williams, cut loose on y'all. I told him before we even started the program, I said, I already know the things in you that you've been holding on to, and I want you to go and share. And little did he realize that that's exactly what he did just now, y'all. He just freed himself up based upon the conversation that we were having. Not only that, but see, there's still other things in this band of God. That's why he's going to come back to this prior gospel experience and share some more things that Holy Spirit God is going to lead him to share, so that we as a people of God can get ourselves into the order that God regimented us to. If we are soldiers and we are soldiers of faith, we have to be disciplined. And to be disciplined, we have to follow orders, and we have to follow the regimen, and we have to follow the doctrines of God. We are disciples, which means we are people of discipline. We don't swerve. We don't shake. We don't rattle and roll.
Right.
Yes, David danced out of his clothes, but I promise you, it was not the dance of twerking and dropping it like it was hot. I bet you it was a Holy Ghost dance. Now, so I'm going to say this, Pastor, I'm going to cut you loose, because I know that after some pastor, preacher, teacher, I know you're a truck driver, and you'll be like, but you're going to get invitations after this fire episode gets out. They're going to say, I need this man of God to bring his brothers and sing, and I need him to go ahead and continue to preach that anointed word of God. I think when it comes to us thinking so much of building church numbers, I think they forgot about a man of God called Peter. When he had so many troops to go into battle, and the Lord started whittling them down to 300, and it was thousands of them. But God said, to do what I need y'all to do, I don't need masses of numbers. Because when it's done by a few, then the people will have to acknowledge it was not because of the few, it was because of the faith that they had in the God to be able to do what a few could do that accomplished much. And that's how the hand of God works. Man of God, thank you so much. You bless me, you bless me, you bless my listeners, which I already knew because we had to work this thing out, y'all. We didn't just say, yeah, I want you to come on Fire the Gospel Experience and then move sailing. We had to overcome some obstacles that was in our way. We had to work this thing out. And that is another lesson we want you all to hear. Just because things come up against you, continue to press on like the Williams singers just got through singing. Press on. They even came to the hood where most of them said, press on. Amen. Man of God, listen, I enjoyed you so much. I want you to feel free to come back as soon as you're ready. I'll be ready for you. How can you be contacted for preaching, singing engagements? What are your social media platforms so that my listeners can follow you on Snapchat or Twitter or Facebook or whatever you want to share so that my listeners can become your followers as well? I don't mind sharing these people that love God because they love me and I love God and they love you too. So, and then where your music can be downloaded, man of God, can you share with us all that information?
Yeah, well, as far as the music is concerned, you can just Google the Williams Singers and all the digital outlets will pop up, Apple Music, whatever digital outlet. We're on every digital outlet stream there is. So just Google the Williams Singers and you can start downloading, whether you have Apple Music, whether you have Amazon, whatever it is, you can go and download our music. You can go to YouTube and listen to our music. We're there. You can contact our group if you want to get in contact with our group. Just go on our website page on Facebook or Instagram, and you can leave a message there for the Williams Singers, and somebody will get back with you, our manager. I don't have his number right offhand, but Kenya Wall is our booking agent, and he'll get right back with you. As far as me and Pastor, you can look me up at Desmond Williams on Facebook or on Instagram. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. Desmond Williams, I have my page. And Christ Community Church, you can look me up there. Christ Community Church in Butlerville, Indiana. Amen. And you can reach me there as well. You can look at a lot of my messages even there on the Christ Community Church page. And basically, that's about it right there, Doctor.
Amen. Well, listen, for you listeners that don't know about Desmond, and I pray I'm pronouncing Desrael Williams' name right, that is his twin brother, and they are so unique. His wife has a twin sister, and they have a broadcast. If you have that information, can you give Mrs. Williams a plug for their a platform that they do? While we got you here, we might as well get everybody in on this.
For sure. They're Joint Heirs Magazine. They do Blog Talk, so you can they have the Blog Talk show, Joint Heirs Magazine Blog Talk, and they have the Joint Heirs Magazine where they have their quarterly issues that goes out. They've had just about – they have a lot of people. Their magazine is phenomenal. It's here in the United States, and it's in the U.K. And you can –
get their magazines online as well. So Join Ears Magazine Radio or Join Ears Magazine. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And we're talking about Woman of God, Kimberly Williams, so that you all can go to their Facebook page. This is Anointed Family of God. I support the people of God because that is God's intention for us to be supportive of one another instead of hating on each other, backbiting and trying to get in each other's way. Don't you know what God has for you is for you and you alone? Nobody can take what God has already prepared and destined for you. So you might as well get more blessed by promoting and supporting the people that are doing great things for Jesus, because that is the body working in cooperation with the head. And the head is God the Father, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, God. Ain't no question about it. Man of God, looking forward to you coming back whenever you get ready. I bless you in the beautiful name of Jesus. You continue to keep doing what you're doing. Feel free to contact me if there's anything I can do in between time and in the meantime. And just keep praying for me and praying for you and yours. How about that, sir?
Yes, sir. It was a privilege, Dr. Jefferson. Appreciate it.
Hey, amen. Man of God, Desmond Williams of the Williams Singers was here on this Fire Gospel Experience. Don't worry, y'all. He'll be back. He'll be back. I promise you. He'll be back. You people of God just bless me so. It just encourages me to keep on keeping on, to keep pressing on, to keep living for God, because that is how the body is intended to function. One area of the body is supposed to serve the other area of the body, and that area is supposed to continue to seek out and serve other areas of the body of Christ, so that we all get an outpouring of God that just is indescribable. I'm talking about joy. I'm talking about peace. I'm talking about prosperity in all areas of our lives. Have good health. Have good employment. And even when we don't have things as we are designed, don't you know God puts you in difficult situations so that you can be the light, so that you can be the sense, the logic, the peace that passes all understanding. And then you'll be the one where people will come up to you privately and say, I've been watching you, and I see how it seems like you don't worry about things, and it seems like you got a peace that nobody else seems to have. And that's when we share our testimony. Amen. Goes right there. So listen, we give God praise, y'all. We honor God. This is Fire the Gospel Experience. And just like my special gift, the Williams Singers, when we just extend ourselves as far and as wide as we can to God, there'll be a hallelujah at the end of it all.
Hallelujah. 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 Fellas, can we worship the Lord? Not for what you've done, but for who you are.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Lord, we want to tell you that we love you.
Take time on to tell you that we love you.
We
love you.
We
love you.
We
love you.
We
love you.
We
love you.
what the misconception is. Just because we put our hands together when directed to do so, we've got the nerve to feel like we're doing you a favor. But what we fail to realize is that what we offer up in praise belongs to you anyway. But the William singers want to take time and let you know that we already know that
all of the glory,
hello,
all of the praise,
it belongs to
you.
Oh, I know you hear what we're saying.
All of the glory
and
all the praise,
it already
belongs to you.
So we take an attitude of praise right now and tell you, you can have it all.
God, we give it all to you, because you, God, you get the glory.
What's going on, family? What's going on? This is Jerry Royce Live Worldwide, a.k.a. the Batman from Charm City, Maryland, and you're listening to Fire, the Gospel Experience with Ron E. Jefferson, right here on Positive Power, XXI Christian Media.
Amen, amen, my main man right there, Jerry Royce Live. That is the first brother that syndicated this Fire Gospel Experience some 5 years ago. Coming up on my five-year anniversary, y'all, next month, and he was the very first one that looked upon this platform and said, brother, you may have something going on, and we've been together for the last 5 years. That's my main man right there, talking about a good brother, saved brother, the very best in promoting platforms such as this there. So if you out there and you're looking for a platform, you need to contact Jerry Royce Live with Positive Power 21 Christian Media, because he'll put it out there for you and he'll do some amazing things as God is working in his life. This is the hour of Fire, the Gospel Experience, where you anointed people of God that have the gift of speaking and oratory and inspiration that want to be blessed by a wider audience. I have a spotlight and I want to shine it on you, gospel artists, musicians. I want to take you to a whole nother level if you're ready. So my special guest, who was just so prepared spontaneously today after I contacted him, I said, brother, can you meet us today? And he said, I sure can. I've been knowing this brother on Facebook, man, playing his music for the last 5 years as a host for Fire the Gospel Experience. And he's here with us today, and I'm super excited. So just to give you a taste of my special guest gospel artist, indeed, this man has been nominated and have been awarded for all the gifts and talents and anointing that God has blessed him with. And you're about to be blessed with a mini concert of my good brother in Christ, Martin Palmer. He wants you, first of all, hold on to what you got, because God got you right where he wants you.
I know you've been going through some tough times,
ooh, yeah,
some rough times, and you feel like giving up. I just want to encourage you.
Remember the time I didn't have a time. I wanted to give, I wanted to resign, but I heard a voice from heaven saying, come to me, I'll carry your burdens, I'll supply your every need. But you've got to hold on.
Christian life, to not give in, not to sway, not to compromise, not to cut and run, as my old coach used to say. You just got to hold on. So, man of God, Martin Paul. Palmer is in the house. You're talking about a man of God that is so gifted in so many areas when it comes to music, musician, singer, songwriter, wait a minute, producer, Lord Jesus, coming out of Jacksonville, Florida. And y'all already know he sings. He's a gospel artist, and he is here for the Shine Artist Spotlight. And we are happy to have man of God, Martin Palmer, up in here on this Fire Gospel Experience. Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. Man of God, Martin Palmer, welcome to Fire Gospel Experience, man of God. Welcome.
Yes, yes. Glad to be here, finally.
Amen. Finally, you made it, but you made it right on time. Good brother, good brother. I'm trying to figure it out, brother, because you have such a smooth, laid-back style of gospel music. Before you share some of your background and when you accepted Jesus Christ and maybe a little bit about your gospel ministry, who were some of the artists, be they secular gospel artists, that you maybe looked at and found your own unique gospel voice? Because you got it real smooth, good brother. I can appreciate your unique sound.
Well, I'll say there's a lot of different artists, and if you listen to some of the other music, there's a lot of different genres, you could say, of the music. Darryl Cooley actually has been a great inspiration to me in singing.
Yes.
He was just awesome. And I've taken a lot of my styling probably from him. But as far as writing, I've listened to the Hawkins, just all of the Richard Smallwood, just all of the greats, you know, and they really taught me, just listening to their music, they really taught me how to write.
Well, I'm going to say this, man of God, you just named some heavyweights, because you name people that as soon as we hear a first few lyrics, we already know who it is, because their voice and their style is so unique. We already know that it's Darryl Cooley. We already know that it's Edwin Hawkins. I mean, my God, that's an amazing resume that you have right there. Can you tell us about your life circumstances when you decide to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Because somebody needs to hear your story.
Well, I was a PK, and we grew up going to church. You know, first we were just going to church, and the church wasn't in us. But, you know, as we grew up and we understood who Christ was and what he really did for us, you know, we really accepted him in our life, you know, as our Lord and Savior. And, you know, and he say, train up a child. Where should they go when they get old? They will not depart. And I am definitely a story. You know, that's my story. I was trained up, and but I came to know him on my own, you know, and it makes a difference.
Thank you. Amen. It makes a big difference right there. That's a beautiful thing when we are surrounded with matriarchs and patriarchs that already established in the faith, because that is a strong base for foundational and fundamental faith that we can't get away from. The thing that I like about my relationship with God, man of God, Martin Palmer, is that God wouldn't even let me mess up his plans for my life. I appreciate that, because I've been down some foolish roads, and I'm grateful to be in my right mind in God right now.
Right. That's right. I've been pretty much in the gospel music most of my life. There was a period where, you know, I went out there and did some secular music. But anything I did that was not God-oriented failed. So I said, Lord, you must, you know, I'm marked, you know, for his service and his service only. So that's why I'm dedicated and committed.
That's a beautiful way to say it and look at it, and that is so true. My previous guest, man of God, Pastor Desmond Williams, we got to talking a lot about the current affairs that's going on in the church. Is there any opinions that you may have about the current affairs that's going on in gospel music that you like to share with us? Get it off your chest, brother. This is the time. This is the place.
Well, I just feel like that we need to make sure that music is really about ministry. It to me, in the industry now, it's more just an entertainment. for a lot of people. And so you have, I believe we have a lot of people now who are just doing music, singing gospel music because they can. It's another avenue of entertainment, and it's not really in their heart as for ministry. Mm. So that's why you see a whole lot of things going on, you know, people being exposed because their heart is really not in it. They're just doing it because they have the gift, you know. And so music really, if you're going to sing gospel music, you really should be about it, about, you know, the music that you sing.
Yes, sir.
Do you believe that a majority of very well-known and established independent artists that has been singing for years and years on the battlefield, do you believe that it's because that the music industry wants to dilute our gospel message? You know, you can say God every now and then, but don't say Jesus. Do you think the music industry is hindering a lot of material that is being presented to them from gospel artists?
Absolutely. That's why at this point in my life, I'm independent and probably will remain that way because as we see now, there's a lot of corruption, unfortunately, in the industry. So, honestly, I'd rather just, you know, be independent and do me and let God open doors that he wants to open. And I think only, my motto is always this, only what you do for Christ will last. You know, if I don't ever get a stellar award,
I love it.
When I get to heaven and he says, well done, that's enough for me. That is absolutely enough for me.
And then the angel's just going to escort you to your position in a heavenly choir and say, every now and then, brother, you're going to sing a solo. How about that?
Amen. You know what? Now, Dr. Jefferson, I always often wondered that all of the wonderful worship music that is written on earth, you know, and the different writers who've written worship music that really worship God, that will they be played in heaven? You know, they get a play in heaven. Will they be on
that's
heaven's
good.
Playlist?
That's good.
You know,
I
would love to hear, I have a song called Exhortation of Praise. I would love to hear the angels singing my song when I get there.
Well, check this out, man of God. That's one of the reasons why God is going to give us eternity, so that
Amen.
We'll be able to pull out heaven's playlist all the way from the very beginning of time, before time, because, you know, they were singing and giving God praise before there was even a man created, before there was an earth created.
That's right.
The heavenly choir
That's
was
right.
singing. So one of the reasons we're going to get eternity is so we can catch up with God, which will never happen, is why we will be blessed with eternity. I think one of the biggest words that we'll say when we get to heaven is W-O-W, wow. Wow, we're going to turn around every other day and say, wow, we're going to hear sounds we never heard before. We're going to see colors.
Yes.
And we'll just be open up to things that our minds cannot even conceive of now. But, man of God, we do have a season right here, right now on earth, because guess what? This is our season, too.
All right.
It's my season. God has brought me out. Oh, it's my season. He's turned my dark days into light. Oh, it's my season. It's a major season. Where the blessings have come my way. It's my season, and it's for my good, good. It's my season. God has brought me out. He's turned my dark days into light. It's my season, it's a major season,
where blessings have come my way. It's my season of prosperity. It's my season. I have everything you promised me. It's my season. I'm living in the overflow. Everything I've touched has turned to gold. It's my season. I'm living in my major season, and it's for my good.
It's all working together for my good.
My God, that's a beautiful song right there, brother. Tell us a little bit about what was the inspiration behind My Season.
Let us not be weary and well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And, you know, the first song was said, hold on, we were going through your dark time.
Yes, sir.
Now we done made it dark time. It's the season that God has blessed us. He brought us out like he said he would. So let us not be weary, even in your dark time. Hold on and continue to do the work of the ministry, the work of whatever God has assigned you to do. Continue to live your life purpose for him. Your season will come.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
Don't be weary in that well doing. Amen.
I can hear that PK kid still coming out of you as a grown man. That PK laid the foundation in Mark Palmer. That's what I'm talking about.
That's right.
That word of God. That word of God sustains this man of God. Listen, man of God, is there anything that reverberates in your mind and your spirit right now that you'd just like to open up and share with the people of God? It can be to the men of God, the women of God. It can be to somebody that is maybe leaning in a decision to accept Jesus Christ in spite of all of the rigmarole and scandal and dirt that's being thrown on the church. Is there any words in your spirit that you'd like to just bless us with right now to whomever you feel led to share it to?
I just want to say to all of those who are ministering in gospel, just put God first in everything that you do. You know, focus on him and not, you know, so much being famous and, you know, because what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but die and lose his own soul? It's not worth it. You know, I wouldn't want to get to heaven, you know, and hear God say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. You know, and that's to the preachers as well, that, you know, don't look at fame and fortune. You know, when you put God first, you know, all these things will be added unto you. You know, whatever it is that you need from God, he will supply it on earth. But all this we hear is temporary. You know, heaven is eternal. You know, so focus on your eternal goals and watch God exalt you in due season.
Oh, my God. You said a whole sermon worth of inspiration right there, man. I could take that and spread that out and use it, man, for myself and share it with somebody else that needs to hear it. Man of God, how can you be contacted in case some bishop, some pastor that's putting together their schedule for 2024 hear this broadcast and they say, oh, my God, that Martin Palmer, he's the fireball for Jesus. I got to have him. How can you be reached for booking for engagements for worship services? Where can my listeners continue to support you and follow you on social media? And where can this anointed music that you sing and that you produce and write be downloaded for my listeners to enjoy at their convenience?
Well, it's available on all media outlets, Spotify, Apple Music, all of them. You just plug in my name, Martin Palmer, My Season, Martin Palmer, Hold On. It'll come up. You also can go to my website, which is mcpalmermusic.com. It's mcpalmermusic.com. On there, you could reach me if you want to engage me. There's an area where you can go send me an email through my website. Facebook, Instagram, just look me up on Facebook. I'm on there,
okay.
you can reach me.
Amen. He's on Facebook because he's been my Facebook friend for years now. And Lord Jesus, I don't know how it took us so long to make this interview possible, but listen, man of God, I knew you had a spirit for Jesus. I knew you had a love for God and appreciation for God. I just sense that about you, and your music confirms it. And I'm just happy that you finally made it here to the Fire Gospel Experience. Please come back and take time to share with us, maybe in a longer interview, whenever you have time, man of God. We appreciate you. We love you. We praying for you. And we thank God for your ministry, man of God. And to shine out a spotlight here on Fire the Gospel Experience, man of God, Martin Palmer, y'all. He did what he did. He blessed us, y'all. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And guess what? He's not through. Because he's letting people know. He said, look, God, I know that there are some people out there that they show up at different times, at different seasons, but I'm here, Lord God. I'm waiting to fulfill my assignment, and I'm ready, willing, and able. I just want you to send me, Lord God. I'll go. Lord Jesus, Martin Paul, you took the words right out of my mouth.
I'm
Send me, Lord. I'm right here. I'm ready, willing, and able. I refuse to let anything get in the way of following your will and fulfilling the purposes that you have for my life. Man of God, Martin Palmer, setting things straight here on this Fire Gospel Experience. I want to take you now to a word of inspiration where we will discuss lifted up from John the 8th chapter, verse 28, and John the 12th chapter, verse 32. Just a word of consideration. There's so much going on in the church. I just felt so led to share inspirational word and bring some truth to our present day circumstances. John 8 and 28 says, so Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak what the Father has taught me. And then John 12 and 32 says, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. One of the most amazing and yet at the same time mystifying things about people witnessing the life and ministry of our Lord Jesus was the fairly regular requesting of a sign from him. The Bible declares that our Lord Jesus did many more signs that were not recorded, that if they were recorded, they would indeed fill up all of the books of the earth. That's right there in John 21, verse 25. And yet, in spite of their impromptuity, our Lord Jesus did, however, relinquish a sign in saying John 8 and 28, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you'll know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. Our Lord Jesus' words have come true and are extremely pervasive due to what we are experiencing in our modern day time that's going on right here, right now. Some 2,000 years after our Lord Jesus spoke those words. Our Lord Jesus spoke of his impending sacrificial death. When you have lifted up the Son of Man, he says that selectively those who would believe his death to be payment for the offensive sins against our Father God. Our Lord Jesus is the lifting that permeates all other so-called resolutions and solutions to what ails mankind, spiritually speaking. Our Lord Jesus, being the exclusively only appropriate way to find salvation to God, yet we are seeing the detrimental and potentially catastrophic results when we lift up ourselves and our unguided ideas based on pure human logic. We are seeing our churches being invaded by secularism in unprecedented measures. I can clearly recall hearing my elder saint saying, we ain't allowing the word to come in here and change the church to look like the world. I can remember that just like I hear it yesterday. And as the news seemingly happily reports the anxiety of church denominations and members quibbling and quarreling over our church activities, our Lord Jesus said, then you will know that I am he. Now, there's a saying that goes, be careful what you ask for. You just might get it. You just might get it. And when our Lord Jesus did indeed was lifted up high between heaven and earth, the earth and the heavens responded. Matthew 27, 50 through 53 says, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and rocks rent. That meant they were split open, and the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. When Jesus was lifted up, even those who were dead and sleeping in their graves rose from the dead. No theatrics, no drama, no sensationalism, just the wonder-working, immutable power of only what our God is capable of. There's no need to compromise and do what the world is doing to raise people's dead conscience to come running down the aisle for salvation. Their eyes have been opened to their own need for soul-saving redemption, which is only found when we lift up the name, life, ministry, and soul-saving redemption of our Lord Jesus the Christ. Verse 50 says, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And then verse 8 in John 28 says, and that I do nothing on my own but speak just what the Father taught me. So there you have it. As Christians, we are to follow in the very same footsteps that our Lord Jesus did. Or have we not yet been convinced of John 13 and 16, which says, verily, verily, our Lord said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. And then John 8 and 28, the D portion says, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own but speak just what the Father has taught me. There is absolutely nothing better, beloveds, than knowing that you know that you know. The church must be careful and aware of what we as Christians are portraying to this evil and dark watching world. Well, we're divided because one denomination of church begins to splinter off into secular and worldly alliances and our places designated for praise, worship, and holy convocational gatherings. We invite ridicule, accusations of hypocrisy from the world. And we find ourselves as believers in harmful debates that can lead to schisms and dysfunctional division in our faith. People are just waiting to denounce the Christian faith and feel themselves free to continue believing themselves better off without God. Now, you know that's a crying shame. So we must speak up and cry out loud whenever there is a waywardness of deviation from our established gospel codes of conduct and behavior as written in the Word of God. Remember Romans 16 and 17 where it says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Amen. And that bus that just rolled by was indeed the Bible. So don't get caught up under it, y'all. Amen goes right there. Listen, y'all, I had a wonderful time in Jesus, as always. I'm so grateful and thankful for a man of God, Pastor Desmond Williams, for coming in and sharing so much profound truth, sharing his transparent testimony, as well as man of God, Martin Palmer, in my shine out of spotlight. You men of God are sensational in Jesus. Keep doing what you're doing. I just want to leave you all with one final word. I want to bless y'all with this and let you know that our Lord Jesus said it better than I could ever say it from John 13 and 16 is the final word. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for setting the record straight. So listen, until the next fire gospel experience, I pray the Holy Spirit, God, will bless you, keep you, cover you, and give you a conscience to keep moving on forward, keep pressing on in the beautiful name of Jesus. Yes, yes, yes. I want to leave y'all with gospel quartet legend Slim and the Supreme Angels. Let you know that the Lord is all right. Ah! Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Y'all be blessed in Jesus. Love you.
Now I want you to put your hands together on this one. This is my favorite. Come on, stand up on your feet and put your hands together. Come on, everybody look at me. Here, listen.
I tell you the Lord is all right. I tell you that the Lord is all right. I tell you that the Lord is all right.
Yes, he did.